heights. In my young days, when I was on the Suva, I really loved climbing. And that was at a time when ships relied on very high masts for their wireless. Well, wireless was more or less in its infancy anyhow then. And apart from, so we had very long masts, and we had an extra top mast, a wooden top mast, put onto the other mast. And then they decided that when the submarines were about, that we should have an extra submarine lookout, because the higher you are, the further you can see. And that was when they got a rum barrel, very big rum barrel. Now that had to be up, fixed on this topmast. And that was at a time when my opposite number, there were two of us then, two carpenter's crews, and he was one of these snivelling blokes, one of these hypocrites, a teetotaler, and he didn't go in for women down there, like a real treacherous kind of a bloke. And he was frightened to death that I was going to take his job on, because he was senior to me, come off the Swiftsure. He'd been out there before the war, Swiftsure, a battleship in China. But he was jealous somehow of me, and he was frightened I was going to get his job, because there was one going to be promoted to a leading carpenter's crew. Well, actually, I wasn't supposed to be in that ship. I was just awaiting passage until the Suva came up from Australia. And so I was anxious to know what the captain of the ship had to do, because I knew that I was going to go in time to another ship on my own. And down used, when we were going to sea, we had a bit of a workshop there, down used to come the marine or the messenger from the bridge and say, the navigator wants the draft. And he'd say, all right, and he used to disappear with a pole with a mirror on the end of it. And he'd say, you hang on down here. And then sand in the tanks, sand in the wells, and also running the capstan on the forecastle, doing all the anchor work. I didn't know anything about this at all. And I was willing to learn. I was frightened. I knew that sometime or other that I would have to do this job. And so I said, here, Ben Sentence, his name was. I said, what about taking me round? Let me have a look at this. One day, I said, you're going to go sick. And they'll scream out for me to do the job, and I don't know the first thing about it. Oh, sorry, he said, you don't know anything about it. Oh, no, sorry. He didn't want me to know anything. Anyhow, the first thing that happened there was this barrel that had got the mast. And the chief said, are you two any good at going aloft? And he said, oh, I suppose I'd better go. So I thought, all right, you go. So we went. Now, we had a foretop, like the crow's nest would be in a merchant ship. So I said, all right, I said, I'll come up the crow's nest with you, and you can pass any tools you want. You can send a line down and I'll send them up. And yeah, I was up in this crow's nest having a smoke, enjoying myself, and all of a sudden, saw a shadow over me, and down he come, and he was shaking like a leaf. He was real white, you see. And I said, what's up, Ben? He said, I dare not go up there. He said, I dare not go up there. And he couldn't, as much as he wanted to. Oh, I said, all right, I'll go up there. So I went up there, and with the aid of a friend of mine, Slashel Slamy, a naval seaman, we went up there, and we had to get past the topmast. Now, this was leaning back, had a nice rake on it. And when you got up to the topmast, this, the ordinary one, you had to do the last of the climb on a rope ladder, which was leaning backwards, going up like a fly, until we'd rigged, we got a rope, strop around the top with a block on it, and passed the line up through there. And then we got this barrel eventually, and they were all down below, they looked like flies down there. And Slasher and I were up there, hanging on, and hoisted this barrel up. And there were two chocks, one each side. And we made some, iron, clamps to clamp it onto the mast, to bolt it on there. And we bolted on there. I remember while I was up there, I had a hammer, quite a big hammer too. And I had it on a becket round my wrist so that I wouldn't drop it. And the becket gave way and I shrieked out, "Below!" And see everybody down below scattering. And this hit the main derrick as it got down there and split into about 10,000 pieces of them. And then we worked our way up there. Of course, nobody could see what we were doing. Nobody could tell us to hurry up because they didn't know how long to. And we made the job last at a fortnight. We stood up there and we had a tin of ticklers, make our own fags. And we had a seat, put a seat in there. A signalman had to sit up there and we would see. So we put a seat in there and then we decided that he should have a cushion, so we had a pillow made and put on this seat. Now then, while I was up there, the first lieutenant said, "Have a look at the dead eyes. Now that is, it's like a band round the mast, top mast, and the stays, that's what hold it, going back that way, that way, that way. And those eyes around there, four eyes, and the stays are bolted on there, and they come right down to the shrouds at the bottom, and that holds the mast there." And he said, "Have a look at them," and he said, "and see if they're worn or anything like that." So I said, "Yeah, they've slipped down about that much, you know, with a strain on them." And so after that, it was my job every Saturday to get hoisted up there and examine these to see that they're all right. And I made some wedges and I drove them up underneath and nailed the wedges to the mast so that they couldn't move. But that was a good job, that was. Yes, Curly Birch was up there, he had the afternoon watch, and he was sitting on his submarine lookout, and the ship was slowly, we were only on a 7 mile patrol, and then a roundabout and seven back, and we were doing 7 knots, and the ship was going over that way and then over this way, and you can imagine that where we were only going over a little bit, but right away up top, in this little barrel, he was going everywhere. And eventually he was violently sick. And so the skipper was down on the bridge. That was the Honourable William Henry Dudley Boyle. He was afterwards the Earl of Cork and Orange. He was seasick himself. But he was down on the bridge, and so Curly was frightened to be sick over the side of the barrel in case it went under the bridge, so he very carefully took off the pillowcase, and he was sick in that until he'd filled it up, and then he waited for a favourable moment, and as this chip went over that way, so he flung the pillowcase over. Unluckily for him, the ship had only got halfway over, and the sea hit her and knocked her back. Down came the pillow, full of sickness, and dropped at the feet of the captain on the bridge, who was already suffering from seasickness, because that didn't improve him. And as it hit the deck, it split open, and out came bits of corned beef and buds. And you can imagine the mess. A real Irish stew it was. And so, "Come down from there, get that man down." And Curly came down there. He was glad to get down, because they relieved him. And he made him clear up this mess on the bridge and holy stone that patch in the dog watches for a week. That was his punishment. Yes, that was the barrel.